Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sarton.
Hi.
What's up?
It's so good to be here. And you know what? It's that time of year again.
It is.
It is. Next week is our Fall Share-a-thon here at AFA.
That's right.
Oh, we don't ask for just money constantly throughout the year. We have two designated times throughout the year, one in the fall, one in the spring.
Right.
Where we have a share-a-thon and we ask you to partner with us, join along beside us if you can.
Yeah.
If you can, if your finances will allow, and maybe make a financial donation. And there's a lot of you that listen that already do that. And we thank you so much. And thank you for just come along beside us and help us to continue what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's not just for me and Jordan.
Right.
That is for the entire ministry.
Absolutely.
All your radio programs that you're listening to here, that you, if you are donating, you're helping to continue that.
Yeah.
If you have watched any of the content that our team at AFS has put out and you really liked it, you've helped with that.
Yeah.
And if you enjoy articles from people like our pal Jordan here,
sure,
from the Stand magazine, and we have a print magazine and an online magazine, you're helping us to be able to do that and to be able to continue to keep you informed and, you know, put out Christian content. And so we really appreciate that. So this upcoming week, just be looking out for that. You'll be hearing it on the air, of course. And I know that it completely, it might disrupt your regular listening, but it's for 3 days.
Yes.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then for the until the spring, you're back
to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge, I feel like it's like a really high energy thing around here.
Yeah.
Everyone is involved. At AFA offices.
Yeah. Obviously, our, you know, we don't want to live for money.
Right.
But it does, we do require money to be able to continue doing things. And that's just the reality of it. And this is how we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 3 days next week, we will be asking you to partner with us if you are able to. Obviously, if you cannot, that is okay.
Yeah.
We, you know, that we still appreciate you. We're just so glad that you're here and that you're listening. And
right.
we ask for everybody, whether you give or not, to take time and pray with us,
right.
pray for us, and that we continue to do the Lord's work and what the Lord is calling us to do, and that we don't stray from that.
Yeah. For more information, you can visit afr.net. Especially next week, there will be all the information there about how to donate online. But if you want to call, you will have a chance to talk to an AFA employee.
You're going to hear that phone number going out, and we and you're going to hear, and you could, if you call at the right time, you could talk to me or Jordan.
We're not going
to
tell you the time.
Mainly because I don't remember what it is.
Because
I think they changed my schedule from what it was last year.
Right, yeah.
But if you call, you could talk to me or Jordan or any other AFA employee. I mean, and that's, you know, one of the people that you listen to. You could talk to them.
Yeah.
You could talk to, you know, could be talking to anybody from this building because we all take our turns and take our shifts.
Yeah, you never know who's going to answer the phone, and it's always really cool to hear from people who listen to the programs at AFR and hear the stories about how maybe it's helped them somehow, a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really encouraging for us who work here to know that the things that we do, that you enable us to do, thankfully by God's grace through your support, are having an effect and helping someone and maybe bolstering them in their faith. And that just means a lot to us individually.
The listener testimonies are by far my favorite part.
Exactly.
I love, because sometimes when just throughout the day, just each day coming in, you're trying to keep up with your task and do all your work, and you don't always, like, you don't know, like, am I doing... Is what I'm doing, is it reaching people?
Right.
And then I hear these testimonies, and like maybe it wasn't me directly.
Sure.
But I was a part of that.
Yeah, you're part of the team. Yeah, yeah. And exactly that sense of unity that we have here too.
Yeah.
When we all come together and do this, it's great. So thank you in advance, and thank you now for just listening and supporting us through that and through your prayers as well. And yeah, please pray for this upcoming week that the Lord will continue to bless AFA and our efforts here and helping us to fulfill our mission. So
this is another prayer request.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what I specifically would like for you to pray, that us as employees of AFA that the money will be just a means to do what we need to do.
Exactly.
A means to continue our work here, a means to be able to go home and take care of our families and our finances and be responsible in those ways.
Yeah.
But that it would never become our main goal.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's what, that is not, I mean, we obviously, of course, need the financial support in order to do what we're doing, but please let that, just pray that that never becomes the important thing that we revolve around.
Exactly. And you know what? Looking back over the history of AFA since its founding by a brother, Don Wildman, it's always been this very, there's been a stress on stewardship of resources. Mm-hmm. And using what the Lord has given us in the right way. And they're very, very aware of that as an organization, as leadership. And I've been very encouraged by seeing how they handle that kind of thing. So, yeah, just pray for us to continue in that vein while the Lord blesses us so that we use those blessings to, in turn, help the church here in America and abroad. So, yep. Now we can go ahead and get on with the main discussion.
The main discussion, yeah.
So you brought this idea to me as an article that I wrote fairly
recently. You brought
recently.
The idea to me.
I brought it to you. You brought it to me and said, hey, we should do this.
You wrote an article, and it's up on afa.net/forward/thestand, which you'll find tons of other articles there.
Yeah.
And we ask that you go and you check that out. And if you enjoy an article and it speaks to you, maybe you can click on those little social media buttons at the top, wherever you like to share your post and share it with other people.
Absolutely. And you know what? Not just this article, but any of the other ones that you find. I mean, you should go and browse afa.net/thestand and look at all of the really great authors there who write some very uplifting and encouraging blog posts. And share them with a friend who you think might be encouraged as well. I wrote an article. It was sort of a meditation on something that Jesus said when he says in John 16, he says, I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And here at AFA, we deal with just a constant stream of horrible things. You know, we are thinking about and reading about and considering the state of the world, the state of our culture, and the impact of the church within
and
that.
It can be a downer.
It can
be. That is, I mean, and that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
And like to the point where, I don't know if you're like me, mm-hmm. when I go home, I don't want to know. Unless World War III is breaking outside my door.
And you're being drafted.
And I'm being drafted. I just like sometimes like to shut it off.
Yeah.
And that's because when we're here, we're dealing with that.
Yeah.
Information all day long.
Exactly. I agree. And that's kind of the way I am. Like, I don't want to bring that back home to my family, especially my kids who right now they're growing up in a world that is completely innocent and good. And I want to preserve that for them and raise them in a healthy way and not full of gloom and doom. But I wanted to bring up that phrase that Jesus said as sort of a way to frame our perspective on the state of the world, because it seems really contradictory. It seems like it's very hard to reconcile the idea of Jesus having overcome the world with the way the world is now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say, oh, the world is getting worse and worse. And you know what? In some ways it is. I would also say that if you rewind the tape back 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, you'll just find out that we've traded one wickedness for another over the course of centuries. So, yes, there are new wickedness
that
happen.
Well, I think there's this flow. Things get really bad.
Yeah.
People start to realize their sin.
Yeah.
And then people start trying to correct that.
Mm.
And then people start to forget.
Yeah.
The wickedness that they were in as the generations go. It's just, it's a constant flow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, even in our country in the last couple hundred years, we, you know, if you look back in our history, there were some horrible things that happened that we committed as a culture. You know, we, you know, allowed the enslavement of people. We allowed the killing of people based on where they came from and who they were. But when we don't do that now. But now we have this national sin of abortion. Mm-hmm. And you know, fill in the blank of all of the things that we are very much aware of now because we're Christians. We don't do those things anymore, but we do other things. And so while I would probably disagree with the idea that and this is up for, you know, Christians can disagree on this, I think. But I personally don't think that the world is getting worse and worse as a whole. I think that we are trading one sin for another generation after generation.
I think it's easy to see that if you're looking at and there's a lot of people like me had a fairly normal childhood, I guess.
Right.
And things were just innocent. And then as you get older and you start really paying attention to the things happening, it does feel like things are getting worse.
Yeah, when absolutely.
When in reality, I was just oblivious because I wasn't watching the news. I was watching a Disney VHS
Cartoon Network
for the 5 millionth time. I was, you know,
right.
I was watching the same movie over and over again while my parents are watching the things happening in the news.
Yeah, I mean, we both think that the 90s was the best decade, probably. Like, it was really cool, you know, as 90s kids. I mean, that was. We look through rose-tinted goggles, and that's what we see. But
I had a horrible haircut, but...
Me too. Bowl cut all the
way. Thank you. Thank you to my mom. I love and appreciate you.
Yeah.
But I had a horrible haircut, but you know what? I was just having a time.
Yeah. From generation to generation, sometimes we have this idea. It feels as if the world is getting worse and worse, and that can kind of lead us into some real... undue, I think, anxiety and doom and gloom about the world. Whereas when you zoom out and you do need to acknowledge, yes, there is wickedness and evil and sin in the world that persists. Maybe not so much not this growing force that's getting more and more powerful. Now, again, that's not something that, you know, that's set in stone in the scriptures that Christians cannot disagree on. Of course, people can have different opinions on that. But regardless of your opinion on that, the fact remains that Jesus did say, I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that should really be the foundation of and really shape our worldview going forward, that when we encounter the sin in the world, the wickedness in the world, that it's always under that context of, yes, but this is still the world that Jesus has, past tense, overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really difficult, I think, if we don't maintain that connection to this eternal perspective, this broad perspective that the Bible gives us.
Yeah. And this is not coming from a Jesus who thought that he was going to, like, ascend into, like, a monarchy. And like, the way the Jews thought that their Savior would be. They thought he would be, like, some warrior who led them into battle. Mm-hmm. And in a way, he did, but not the way they thought. This is a Jesus who comes from, the home of a humble carpenter. He was a carpenter. And this is a Jesus who knew what the outcome was going to be for him. Wow. He wasn't oblivious to the fact that he was going to die for our sins. And he knew that was coming. And I don't know, just something about when you put it in that perspective, like Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And this is a Jesus who, this is a Jesus who before he was crucified knew who's going to be crucified. Yeah,
exactly. The cross was a victory, not a defeat. And that, when you look at, especially, I think, the early church and their attitude towards persecution and the state of the world, there might be a bit of a difference between that and Christians of today, because our secular definition of victory has widely been shaped by all sorts of things that are not the Bible. And so when we see biblical victory, it might not look like victory.
And there are some church buildings, I will say church buildings, not the church, that equate victory in the way the world would.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like the prosperity gospel come out.
Oh, sure.
Where they believe that to be a Christian means everything is going to be perfect in your life now.
Right.
The thing about the victory in Christ is that no matter what is happening to you right now in your life, that you still have that victory in Christ if you belong to him, if you've given yourself over to him. So, and so I think about all these people right now that are dealing with these horrible storms in this hurricane that has come through.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I've been seeing all this damage and things like that. And the people who are separated from their loved ones and they don't know where they are. I've seen several videos. And it's just, like, you just cannot think, how can any good, any victory come from that?
Mm.
But if you are in Christ,
yeah,
and nothing can separate you from Him,
yeah,
not even death.
Mm. Exactly.
Not even death.
Yeah. And I mean, I believe it was even Paul who said that, you know, he gave this whole list of things that were these good, noble, admirable things about himself. And then he said, and I count these all as, you know, rubbish mm-hmm. compared to what he had in Christ. And so if even the good, like, treasure, the things that we value in our lives should be counted as rubbish in the light of what we actually have eternally in Jesus,
yeah,
then how much more the bad things that happens to us? Like, not that we don't have sorrow in this life. We absolutely have sorrow and pain, and it's entirely appropriate to feel those things. But how much more then should we celebrate and rest in what we have in Christ? I think that's an excellent reminder.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, we can look back in time again and look kind of before the cross at the state of the world, because I do think that there is a tangible-ish kind of way to see this victory, that before the cross, the state of the world was kind of like, there was all of this paganism, there was this darkness, there was this wandering away from God into sin, complete rejection or complete ignorance of God in the world. And then you had this tiny little blip of light in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Hebrews who had the revelation of God through the law. They had the revelation of God through ceremonies and prophets and priests and all of these things. And that was the state of the world. That was, you know, mm-hmm. this darkness with a little kernel of light right there in the Middle
East.
And
even this particular light had a habit of putting the bushel over the light.
Exactly.
Periodically.
Yeah.
And having to be, God would have to use tact, like, I would just say,
yeah,
I mean, enslavement.
Yeah.
To draw them back.
Exactly. So even the people who lived in that kingdom of God were horrible representations, representatives of it, and oftentimes grossly misrepresented who God was. And we see, you know, the result of that. But now you look post-cross, you look after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, you see this explosion.
Mm-hmm.
The walls between the people of God and the other people, mm-hmm. Gentiles, has been taken down, and in Christ there is no distinction between the two, Jew or Gentile. If they're a believer, they are a believer. And the gospel has spread to most parts of the world, if not all parts of the world, to most people, if not all people. Now, of course, there are people out there who have never heard the gospel, but I would imagine that if you kind of had a list of all of the cultures of the world, all of the nations of the world, and you marked off everyone where a missionary has gone and preached, it would probably be a majority of the list at this point. And you compare that, and then you look at countries in the West, you look at European countries, you look at America, these whole nations, these whole people groups whose cultures to one extent or another were very influenced by the gospel,
mm-hmm.
in their very nature, in the way that their government works or in the way that their cultures operate. There is at least a thread of gospel truth in there affecting something. Compare those two pictures, the before the cross and after the cross. I think in that way you can see an actual tangible, wow, there has been an overcoming, and there's a continual overcoming of the world, where at one point there was this, you know, people, generations, nations and kingdoms would rise and fall in complete ignorance to God. And now it's not the case anymore. The gospel has spread to every
yeah.
nation. And yes, there is still sin, and yes, there is still wickedness, but that exists under the truth that is proclaimed everywhere, that God is who he says he is, and he has sent his son, and his son is the king.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would say absolutely, Jesus has overcome the world, and that should really powerfully adjust the way we see the world. Now, it's not a very easy thing, especially if we kind of have our street level view, I think.
Yes. And if you're watching the things happening around the world, I know right now we're in the midst of a presidential election.
Yeah.
And then you're watching the way these politicians are behaving,
right,
and things, and you're seeing the way people are behaving towards someone with different political views.
Yeah.
And then you flip the channel, and there are cities being completely washed away. They're not there anymore. And then you flip the channel, it's something else. It is just it can feel very bleak.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the best way I can put it. I see that, and sometimes I feel it.
Yeah.
But in, you know, when I serve a God he's already won at the end,
mm-hmm,
and that no matter what, because I have given myself over to Christ, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you receive the news that Cedra has died, she has gone on, I know you're going to be devastated.
Yes,
really, that's
absolutely.
That is my pal.
Yeah.
That's my pal, and you're going to cry.
Yeah, I'll cry.
You better. but you can also look at it and go, I know who she was, and I'm hoping you'll go, I know that she was a believer. I know that she was in Christ.
Yeah.
And that in death, I know where she is, and hey, we'll hang out one day again.
Absolutely. And it'll be even more awesome.
It will be.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point to bring up, too. Like, Christians are called to not even fear death. And that's something that is completely illogical to anyone who is outside of Christ. Like, death is the end of all things to them. Death is the reason, the motive behind all fear. But for
and
the
if
Christian.
You, yeah, well, and if you look at history, and even to this day,
mm-hmm,
Christians are some of the most hated, hunted people
that
have, I mean, along with, and then the Jewish people as well.
Yeah.
The Jewish people have, again, have had a rough go of it. And then if you look at Christians, even the Jews, you know, hated a lot of them.
Yeah.
There are probably some that still do, just because
I think so. Yeah.
There's people who have that hatred in their heart. And so, but that hated the Christians for turning away from their belief, like from the Jewish belief in believing Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so to still have that mentality when you look at the things that are happening, if you get your Voice of the Martyrs magazine or whatever in the mail, and you're like, this is awful. And but then to know that some of these countries where these things are happening, that's when you have some of the most the strongest believers. I think we talked about this last week, where I kind of mentioned someone who went on a mission trip to China,
mm-hmm,
and how they had their secret meetings for church. And even though, you know, if you were one of the people who directed people to church, you would, I mean, your lifespan could be like, you could be dead or taken away, jailed in a couple weeks just for taking on this job. But they never had a shortage of people willing to do it. You know why? Because they had the correct worldview.
Exactly.
They had the correct, they understood what the gospel means.
Yes, yes. And, you know, again, it's entirely appropriate to feel sorrow and even anger sometimes at the wickedness in the world.
Yeah.
But that should never lead you to despair. It should never lead you to a feeling of all is lost, because that is a lie. If you look at the Bible, it is the complete opposite. There's a passage, Joshua 23:14, that really talks to the faithfulness of God to bring about what he said. And it says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." So this is Joshua speaking to the Hebrew people saying, look, my life, your life, these are living testimonies of the faithfulness of God. Not that necessarily everything in your life is perfect and good, but that everything that God has promised has come to pass. And then when you look at the promises of God in the Word, you you see promises of restoration to his people. You see promises of redemption. You see promises of salvation. You see promises of justice and mercy. These are things that are coming to pass now,
yeah,
and have been since the beginning of time because God keeps his word. And so, yeah, when you look at the election results next month, when you look at the next school shooting, the next bomb that goes off, what the next hurricane that comes by and destroys lives, you can hold on to the faithfulness of God that, yes, you can be sorrowful and you can feel negatively, but that should never lead us into despair.
Yeah. Well, I just want to go ahead and remind you guys that you can go to afa.net where you can just kind of see everything that we're doing. That website will connect you to AFR, to the Stand magazine, to our friends at the American Family News. They're constantly putting out new stories all day. So if you want to keep informed, and our friends at American Family Studios who are working on things, and they will soon be releasing a new documentary called Culture Warrior, which will just give you guys like so much information about our founder, Brother Don Wildman, and how the American Family Association came to be. He saw the awful things happening in the world.
Exactly.
That's how we started. Mm-hmm. And he decided to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And so we just hope that you'll be in prayer for this documentary. I've already got to watch it. It was really well done. And so be looking out for that.
Absolutely. And until next week, guys, continue to share truth and apply scripture.